Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with a Survivor 45 Episode 7 recap, and we have now seen Sifu go and Caleb go, and we have also seen, for I think it's about the fifth season in a row, we have seen Survivor absolutely slaughter the definition of the word merge. I think it's the fifth season in a row, and I'm probably wrong, but I would call this a tribe swap. They did not merge. So poor Sifu. I feel bad for him. I really do. I wasn't a big fan of Sifu on this season. I thought he was so over the top of a character. I didn't think it was, maybe it was authentically him, but I feel like the producers and the editors had a hard time relaying how authentically him it was, which I feel like we finally got authentic Sifu tonight. And I do feel bad for him. That is the worst spot in the world to go. And I really am upset for him. I'm more upset, though, that Caleb's gone, because Caleb was great TV. And for as much, I did finally start to take some flack after I said that his move is essentially what Chris Underwood did, where he got voted out and was all luck. Congratulations.
But good. It felt wrong for you to say something and then not get yelled at.
Yeah. So I finally started getting it. But man, I'm bummed Caleb went home. And I think I would have been bummed if Julie went home, too. I like this cast a lot. And I think Julie's a really good character and a really good player. She's never going to be as loud or as big or anything like that as Caleb. It's just not possible. That's not her archetype. But I love Julie on the season. So I'm all about it. And Michael Carroll brings up a good point. And it's kind of like, I don't know, is this a reason to celebrate? Spoiler, American Survivor now. Somebody get John Millsap on the phone. We're doing our podcast after this, and he's going to be in a cranky mood because there's no Canadians left.
I know. Who's going to win now? It's really up in the air. Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see Caleb go, but it felt like a very meta conversation that was happening in the water where with like D, Julie, and Austin. And they were like, we have talked about this on this podcast, like, people get votes piled on them and then people just like move on.
Yeah.
But I think, and I think they made a good point by saying like, well, what's the point of moving on? You know, Caleb is still a huge threat. He still doesn't have any allies. And we found out that Emily did not tip him off here.
No.
Emily did not tip him off last week. And so I think that was maybe a wink to us from producers that she's ready to fly on her own. She likes having him, but he trained her and now it is her time to go graduate. And he seemed pretty pissed, but I think from Keturah's perspective, like their plan was good, but they didn't consider the fact that when one person finds out that they've been lied to by all of their friends, they're not going to be happy.
Who would have thought? Yeah. I have a lot of feelings about the Keturah situation, and I have a lot of feelings about a lot of what happened here in this episode. But I do want to bring up how when we did the power rankings episode this past weekend, that was the exact reasoning I put Caleb at 11. I know you had put him higher, and I know a lot of people were, as they were turning them in, putting Caleb a little bit higher up. Mm-hmm. And my reason was, when you do this tribe swap, when you split like this, you are making it so that it's difficult to in. They had that episode when Caleb played his shot in the dark. When he played a shot in the dark, that happened less than 24 hours before he was voted out of the game. That's how fast that was. He was literally. So yeah, you're muted. I don't know if you mean to be muted.
But I said that's crazy.
I saw you mouth it, and I was like, I don't think that's something she'd want herself muted for. But so day 13. Caleb plays his shot in the dark. And on day 13, Jamaya goes home. On day 14, they split into two tribes of six. One and both tribes now have to go to tribal council. They get split onto separate beaches. They haven't even had time to really figure out what even happened last night. And they're already being separated again. So I think when that kind of thing happens, a lot of times it's just easiest to go after the common denominator. Like, poor Caleb just happened to be fresh on everybody's minds. And because he didn't win immunity, there was nothing that could be done. Do you think that Keturah made the right move?
I think if I was her, I would have made the right decision. I don't know if that makes it the right move. I would have made that same decision. I don't know if that's the right move, but I think it is, because so she did choose an unknown. She did choose to vote with these three Rebas who are super tight with each other. But this Bello group was never that close. At least that's my understanding of it. And so your option is stick with what you know, who has been lying to you this whole time, or try something a little different. I presume she doesn't know that Kelly and Kendra have also like been feeling this isn't working. Like this isn't working with Bruce. I don't really know where they stand with Jake. But I think it's clear that Jake either wants to call the shots or is still on Bruce's side. And neither of those are really going to work for Katara. So I think she did make the right move in the sense of what was presented to her. What do you think?
I'm so conflicted. So first I have to say, like, I'm so team Bruce that I can't help myself. And we're going to talk a lot about Bruce's edit tonight because I mean, he was the focal point of this episode.
And vocal point.
Yeah. But vocal too. I mean, he's talking but I'll talk about him in a bit, but because I'm more team Bruce, I feel like I'm being a little biased against Katara. So it's hard for me to completely give her a fair shakedown in this situation. I think that Jake and Caleb's plan was perfect. I do think Austin would have bailed. I think Austin having an idol in his pocket would have said, you know what? Maybe I do need to get rid of Julie. I don't think that group of three ever was going to break up. So if Katara was nervous that by not voting for voting for Caleb, if she was worried that by not voting for Caleb, she was putting herself in danger by going to Rocks, that's one thing. But I do think that if they would have gotten to that point and they would have stood strong, I think that Austin would have flipped in that moment, realizing he's the only one that would have been in danger from the Red Tribe. He has the safety, or he doesn't know if Drew used the safety without power or not, but he has his idol. And so why would you put yourself in that position to go home when you still have an idol and you can make up ground on that? And if D gets mad at you, D gets mad at you. It's a different type of situation. But your point's 100% right. Jake and Caleb want to tell her about the idol so that it's not Austin who tells them. But by telling her, you're letting her know that she has actually been on the bottom of this totem pole the entire time and that you do regard Bruce higher than her.
Mm-hmm. You're also probably speaking so highly of Bruce because he's in the chat right now. Phil always talks crap about you, Bruce. He's just when you leave. But absolutely. And there was a weird like continuity error there. Why, I don't know why Austin knows.
Because Bruce of Caleb. Last week, Caleb told Austin that Bruce had the idol. And I forgot about that. But Caleb told Austin because he was trying to get everybody to go against Bruce because he knew that his name was out there. So Caleb told Austin that Bruce had the idol. So now Austin has that information. And so really, Caleb is the reason why this lie needed to be protected.
Interesting. Yeah. I definitely remembered that happened. Sure. Sure. I was like, why is everyone talking about this? Like, it's a fact. That's why. But I don't know. I think Jake also really wanted to be in control of the vote. And I think now I'm fearful for him that he doesn't have that agency. And I don't really necessarily think it's a Jake thing. I think it's probably a bit of just misinterpreting where everybody stands. And we've seen this time and time again, if someone's on the bottom, you can't really tell them that they're on the bottom. And she has been told by Bruce, it sounds like directly, that she's on the bottom. And now the only other person that she's quote unquote aligned with just also told her that as well. So I'm like always team Bruce. We ride the Bruce caboose on this podcast. But at the same time, like tonight, like I loved Katara at the beginning. And then I was like, okay, I would love to hear something else other than Bruce's name. And then tonight I was like, okay, I get it. Like I get where she's coming from because we're getting a more like articulate like explanation from her and from others as to why they aren't necessarily gelling. So then I'm like, okay, this is an interesting battle now. Like it used to be so one-sided and now it's more of headbutting and I can appreciate the battle a lot more.
Yeah.
But I think in general, like I mean, obviously I'm biased towards Bruce, but I really, I like Keturah too. I want something to find its way. I want them to find their way out of each other because there's more interesting things about the two of them, I have to imagine, than the fact that they don't like each other.
Yeah, unfortunately, that ship has
Unfortunately, there aren't.
Unfortunately, their whole, at least Keturah's whole storyline is going to be Bruce. And I could see them actually going back-to-back episodes. I could see a situation where Bruce gets voted out of the game and then Keturah gets voted the next week. Or
that's
Bruce
totally what's going to happen.
Yeah, Bruce,
it's going to be him first. Title.
It's Cass and Savage.
Or her than him, because she's been going for him.
Yeah. He plays the idol. Keturah goes. He's feeling good about himself. He goes the next week. It's Cass and Savage like all over again. And I just, that's where it's hard for me to get a real read on Keturah because it has been so one note. And I've been sitting here saying the entire time that I think Bruce is playing a better game than Keturah, which I don't think is the popular opinion in the community. I think it's split 50-50, but I do think that if it's going to lean one way or the other, I think it's leaning towards people supporting Keturah in this situation. And my whole reason for being on Team Bruce was that idol hunt, because it showed that everybody trusted him a lot more than Keturah, that they were searching for the idol with him while she was just walking around down the beach. And I think that she's been so blinded by being annoyed by Bruce that it's affecting the other relationships she's making, because what's happening is she's almost walking around in a high school type situation. Where it's, you know, that one person, you don't like this one person. And you have voiced it so much that you're assuming all your other friends don't like that person. And then all of a sudden you see one of your friends talking to that person, you go, well, what the hell? And then when you confront them, they're like, well, you don't like them. I like them fine. And I hear Kelly talking a lot about this, but Kelly, Kendra, Keturah feels like it was a bit of an echo chamber of, we don't like Bruce, because Jake was never on board with that ever. And I don't think that the Reba people are really looking at Bruce as much of a threat at all. So I think this came as a massive shock to Keturah, and I'm hoping it wakes her up. I really am, because I think that if it wakes her up, she'd go on and go really deep in this game. I don't think she's going to win, but I don't think Bruce is going to win either. But I really do think that she needed this moment, because she had she had blinders on and was staring at Bruce. And she was just missing that, because she doesn't like someone doesn't mean everybody else is feeling the exact same way she is.
Right. And you see her kind of figuring that out earlier on. She's like, how does no one else see this? Like, is it just me? And I think sometimes you have to have a slap in the face and be like, oh my God, like I'm the only one seeing this. Oh, I had something, but I'm forgetting it. Oh, no, I lost it again. Crap.
You want me to go? Because I have one thing that I just like with Keturah's reaction when she was told about that idol and she came to the realization that everybody knew it, like she had the same face as somebody who'd been cheated on had.
Oh my God.
What do you mean everybody absolutely. Knew? Her reaction, you could see the blood rush from her head. I felt what she was feeling in that moment.
It's like finding out that all your friends are talking crap about you.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
It's the worst. Yeah. And she got hit hard. And you know what? I think a lot of people are going to say that she played this emotionally. I kind of think she had to. I think she had
this,
to.
This is because it was like personal.
And I think she needed to wake the other players up to the fact that she has her own merit in this game. And Jake and Caleb, if you were going to use me like that and think that I would still then turn around and vote with you, you got another thing coming. I'd rather a Bruce type enemy than a Jake and Caleb type enemy, because you're more dangerous. I don't know what you're not being authentic. Bruce, I know, doesn't like me. You two are supposed to like me. And the fact that you don't hurts a lot more.
Yeah. And I think that this is, again, just like that, this is probably the Reba tribe being really good, and or also more so the fact that these people have only been hanging out for 18 hours instead of like a week. But the fact that they were banking on Austin flipping, that implies that they do not know how close that group of four Rebas are. And Austin, I think it's such a cool observation, and it was such a good thought to jump ahead and be like, let's make Austin be the one who flips because he's playing scared. I think that's a really cool call out. But Austin's with his number one, number two, and his number three is on the other side. So yes, that's probably true. But at the same time, he might just take the bet because the other option is flipping on your closest allies.
Yeah. And so right now, after tonight's episode, is there any way that they're not four of the final six, the Reba four that are remaining?
Yeah, that the Bello tribe is going to start eating themselves. Done. I'm shocked. That was what I was remembering. I'm shocked the Bello tribe made it through tonight the way that they did, because Keturah has been anti-Bruce, but tonight Kendra and Kelly really, really have been as well. And they had the perfect opportunity to, and they did not. And I don't say that in a good way, good move or bad move kind of way, but this really felt like this is your chance. This might be your only chance to do it, especially with Drew kind of just floating there, or Sifu. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised that they didn't go forward with it. They must have put a lot of agency in what Kelly said about him being a shield.
And I think he is. I think that they made the right move tonight. I think the biggest problem that they're running into, so we're down to the final 10. I would argue that group of four from Reba is inseparable. And we are in a situation now where you have a group of four that is inseparable, that has safety without power and an idol. And they probably have Emily, because now Caleb is gone and Austin and Drew are the ones who voted with Emily at that one tribal council. So we have a 5-5 split pretty much at best. And the five on the other side don't like each other. Kendra and Keturah and Kelly might like each other great. And Jake and Bruce might like each other fine. But they're all lying to each other. There's not that unrealistic sense of honesty like we're getting from Drew. We all made fun of Drew for being so overly honest. But he's in the tightest group of four right now. That Bello alliance, they might have the numbers right now. It means nothing. This is not going to pan out. I would not be surprised if the next five boots are all Bello. I would say the next five, if not the next five, four out of five are going to be Bello.
Yeah, I think Keturah and Bruce are very short-lived. Keturah and or Bruce are short-lived. And I also, I don't think Jake is going to go home, but I think, like we said earlier, I think Jake doesn't have the agency anymore. But I don't think that he's going to want to be a number, and I don't blame him. So yeah. I could see there being some fights there. Kelly is the only one who I think is safe, and that's only because I think she will find a way around it. But she's also a target because she took a sandwich from Austin. But next week that won't matter because there's an auction.
And I think that this auction is going to – I'm very, very excited for the auction. I think we all are very excited for the auction, right? But I'm really excited for it because they say it's going to be totally – excuse me – revamped. So if it's going to be totally revamped, yeah, Jeff was talking about that like in the beginning, because, you know, they said that the auction was a broken thing, so they had to come up with new ways. I'm very excited to see what those new ways are going to be, because I think we're going to get different twists and different things than what we're used to getting. And maybe that does help Kelly somewhere further down the line, because I still feel like Kelly is getting a winner's type edit, but I don't see her path to win right now.
I agree. I don't know where... Really, there's no Bello. I don't know where they stand. And Bruce is the only one with an idol. And he clearly trusts his tribe, but I don't know how much they trust him or for how long.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah.
So okay. The winner of the season is hailing from Miami, and all 10 of those toes are going to be millionaires.
I gotta just say, I get that she used her toes at the beginning. She didn't use her toes to win this challenge.
No, she used her quads.
Yeah, quads. That's the better word. Yeah, the actual muscle. But no, everybody was saying she's going to win because of her toes. And then in the afterward, she was saying, I won because of my toes. I won because of my toes. And I'm like, do you know where your toes are? Because your toes didn't actually help you as much as you think they did.
Big. Yeah, when I was watching, she was like hanging upside down. She was like a monkey. Like I can't believe I would never be able to do that. I would have collapsed or fallen on my back. Mm-hmm. but it was a good, that challenge is so good. It's always good. I do like what they do about the winning tribe getting to win reward. Did the winning tribe even go to the sanctuary? Did they do it? And I blacked out.
No, they went to the sanctuary. Cause remember when they said you go to the sanctuary, they showed the reaction shots from clearly after they were told what food they were getting. And Austin was like, oh my God, the sanctuary. I can't believe it. God is good. Like, please give me the sanctuary. Like it's so ridiculous.
They're not reacting that way
to that word.
I can't with the sanctuary. The reactions are.
Good things happen.
Good things do not happen there. They eat a sandwich for 20 minutes and then they get out. They gotta stop that. It's so bad.
It's so bad. And like, I really wish that we would have gotten a like D confessional about how disgusting the tacos were. I mean, if you're eating like South Florida tacos, they're not as good as LA street tacos, but South Florida tacos are pretty damn good. And so I'm assuming the Fiji tacos that they had a hand make were my nightmare or my favorite meal of second grade. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably what we were looking at.
And soft drinks. They didn't even get margaritas. Get out of here with that. If I was on Survivor and I was given like tacos or something that generally is consumed with a margarita and I'm not offered a margarita, I would get on a boat and go home. I would be Sean and I don't care. I don't care. I want
now
a margarita.
We know how to get Alexa to quit.
Don't offer me a margarita.
Don't offer her a margarita.
Yeah, no. I completely agree.
I don't disagree with you. You know, I really don't. I'm a little baffled that they didn't. And normally the alcohol is what makes people a little bit crazier, right? That gets them talking.
Yeah. And it also makes it really fun. Like that Davey, Kara, Carl.
Do you know why? I think the reason why they didn't do this is because I think the day before was the merge feast. Or maybe it had to be 2 days before it was the merge feast. But I'm trying to think because they definitely had alcohol at the merge thing. So I don't know, man.
Who knows?
I have to say, look, D, you got this in the bag. I'm definitely going to go to Fair Play's event on December 6th. So anybody who's in the South Florida area, buy tickets to the Johnny Fair Play event. You'll get to see me. I'm better looking than Fair Play. So you
Phil's one of the title sponsors.
Yeah, a title sponsor. Phil says Johnny Fair Play is a nice guy. So you're allowed to go. But yeah, so I'm going to that on December 6th. And I'm kind of hoping D's going to show up because I think that would be funny. I don't know.
Oh, my God. I hope so for your sake.
For my sake. But at the same time, I just need to say that even if my preseason winner pick, Michelle Fitzgerald, unnecessary stan, goes on to win the season, I'm still just so – I'm just so meh on so much that's taking place from the production standpoint. And I liked a lot in the beginning portion of this game. But I think the last two episodes have just kind of been too much. And I think there's a couple things that Survivor just won't let go of that they need to just let go of. And this whole merge and then immediately split them into two tribes, but then to do it twice, because you have to think last week they didn't merge, but they all lived on one beach together. And then they randomly drew rocks to get split into groups of six. Then they all go to tribal council together. The next day, they sit down together thinking, okay, we're going to have a normal tribal council. And they don't. Instead, they immediately get split again into two different teams. Now, these two teams go to tribal council separately. What do we call that? We call it the tribe phase of Survivor. That's what that is called. It is the tribe phase of Survivor. It is a tribe swap. And I think that, especially like, congratulations, Sifu, you made the merge. Even though you went home at a tribal council that was six people who were a team and the other six weren't there and you didn't even make the jury. He didn't make the merge. Like you have defeated the purpose of the meaning of this.
It's so bad.
It's just gotten to the point where it frustrates me to high hell because I sit there and I'm like, what would Caleb have survived tonight had this been a normal tribal council? We don't know, but get rid of two people in the pre-jury phase. Get rid of two people in the tribal phase and just let the merge be the merge. I don't care about Earn the Merge. I honestly think Earn the Merge is one of the most overhated twists in this show.
It's so weird.
It's weird, but it's as long as the hourglass isn't there, I don't care.
Yeah.
But this is dumb. And I don't like the split at 10. It's too predictable. But after tonight, I honestly don't like the split at 12 because Caleb had that epic moment last week. And again, I've said numerous times, a moment, not a move, but it was epic. And he had that epic moment last week and he's just gone the next week. And there was nothing he could do about it because the people he was talking to, this guy just had to negate 11 votes. The fact that he was almost able to swing six people onto his side the next day is incredible. But all that hard work is for naught because he was talking to the wrong six people. And I get, oh, well, have a good relationship with everybody. It's really hard to pull, to gain your footing in the game when you've been blindsided and you have less than 12 hours before the next challenge.
Yeah, for the breakup vote to be the day after the merge vote it's terrible. It's just I really haven't thought of it from the player's perspective, but to your point, just make the juries smaller. It's like even like I know they like to have this shot, but I feel like every time they get to the earn the merge, they're like, wow, look at all these people. And it's like a wide angle shot of 13 people. Just get rid of two more in the pre-merge phase. And I know that that's like devastating to hear, like from the perspective of a player. And I totally understand that. But like, it's just from a, I feel like it's the continuity is not there. And I think we were talking about this last year, we had earned the merge. We had the split tribal and we had that weird thing with Heidi. Like there was never a normal vote until it got to like the final nine or final eight. And you have idols the whole time. And then you go straight into the final four fire making.
Yep.
Like the merge is not clean.
And I think that, based on this season and how it's gone, we've had some great episodes that were boring boots. Because
that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Like Sean and Hannah quit on two really good episodes of Survivor. Hopefully with these 90 minutes, the producers are realizing, you know what? It's okay to not have an amazing tribal council every time. The rest of the game is okay. Like we can create interesting dynamic storylines. And if that means it's an 11-2 vote at the merge, then it's an 11-2 vote, like whatever. But back in the day, and I'm talking not that long ago, maybe season 39, the merge was always a get your footing, show where the lines are drawn. And now you realize, okay, we're up against a group of eight or we are the group of eight. Let's just take these people out. But you know what? I don't want to get complacent because I want to do blah, blah, blah. Instead, the merge now is just, oh, cool. We voted somebody out and then we split up and I don't even know who went home from the other tribal council. I had no say, I had no way protecting my allies. I had no way of doing anything. We've spent 2 days together. Two of those days were challenges. So they've spent 3 days together, 2.5 days, 2 full days were challenges. So we don't have time to bond with people that I haven't had a chance to be on an island with yet. And now I've already split up and I'm away from close allies and blah, blah, blah. And when you start to break it down that way, the merge has become a nothing burger. Mm-hmm. It used to be the defining moment of the season of where does everything lay going into the end game. And now it's cool. We have 10 people left. I think the Reba 4 are the strongest with Emily because that's what I saw in the pre-merge. Nothing that I saw in these last two episodes changed my opinion of that. Just the people who went home changed my opinion of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like for our power rankings last week and realistically for our power rankings this week, I still do not know where any of the Bello group stands with each other. And that's really bad. Mm-hmm. And even Emily, like to your point, I only know Emily's working with the Reba tribe because she like re-referenced it tonight. These continual split votes, they make it so hard to understand who is aligned with who because it doesn't matter who you're aligned with because it's going to switch once a week.
Yeah. And I don't know why they don't want us to really know because the Reba 4 is clearly running this game right now. And I actually think you have a better chance of breaking. See, this is where it's funny when production backfires on each other. They would have had a better chance of one of the Reba 4 going home tonight had they just had a 12-person tribal council.
Yeah, definitely. So, and someone here says it's better this way. Old school alliances are boring with predictable vote outs. I understand that, and I know that's something that I listen to Jeff's podcast. I know he's said that in the last season, but modern is so like new era, recent players, whatever word you want to use, they will not pagong people. They will not play that way because people aren't going to vote for a winner who did that. Players are now trying to out-trick each other. And I think that's great. They just should, I don't think they have to do that on top of the game tricking them. Yes. You know, I think these people like Drew and them are plenty creative as is without separating them from each other.
And right now, Jake tonight was saying he's being told what to do. He's in Owen Knight's dream position. Somebody is telling him how to vote. And you know what Jake and Owen's positions have in common? They would both get you zero votes at the final unless you do something. Mm-hmm. If you're not being told what to do and you're constantly on the wrong side of the vote in today's day and age, you don't get respected for it. If you're being told what to do and you're not seen as the face of it, you're not respected for it. Everybody who goes out there and gets this far in the game, because it is so easy to quit, as we've seen on Survivor 45, if you get this far in the game, you want to win the game. And I think Sifu realized he wanted to win the game tonight. I don't think he realized he wanted to win the game because he thought he was on a vacation, and then all of a sudden it clicked in his head that, wow, I'm playing for $1 million. Had he survived tonight, I think Sifu could have gone on the warpath and done something here. But everybody wants to win the game. Everybody knows when you're not going to win the game. You're not going to win the game if you ride coattails. And anybody wants to say, well, Mike Gabler rode coattails. No, he didn't. He didn't ride coattails. He made the moves when he needed to make the moves. But Jake and all them, they're not going to just sit there and say, oh, I'll let Kelly run this. Because then they know that Kelly's going to win the game.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, I think that this comment here from Jimbo Slice, which is a great name because Kimbo Slice
such a good name,
the fighter. But I think this comment here is something that has been jammed down our throats relentlessly for the last, since Second Chances. And I think that it's nonsense. I think that it's an advertising thing. That's all it is. It's a way of promoting the show and saying, look how crazy all our votes out are. Our vote outs are. Every old school like, vote out was boring.
It's still good, even if the episodes aren't crazy. Phil and I did a whole series during the pandemic that the best episodes of Survivor are episodes in which we knew exactly who was going home and why. And that was the case. That's been the case in this season as well. Like I know with Brandon going home, we weren't really sure if it was going to be him or Emily, but it was really exciting. Mm-hmm. And it didn't necessarily matter who was going to go home because either way you understood. Mm-hmm. Not everything has to be a surprise because now nothing is a surprise.
Yeah. And I feel like tonight, last week was a great moment. So they're batting 500 right now because last week was a great moment. And tonight I feel like they actually shot themselves in the foot because Caleb never had a chance to rebound from the situation last week. And I think that's what frustrates me the most about New School Survivor is I didn't think Caleb's move last week was good. People were arguing with me. Oh, well, you still have to know when to roll the dice because an idol is a sure thing. A shot in the dark is 1 in 6 chance. So people, if they know you have an idol, they're going to be a lot more scared to tell you you're going home because they know that if you play, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you have a shot in the dark, where they'll tell you because you still only have a 16, 17% chance of it working in your favor. So maybe we can be a little bit more open about it. So while I didn't think it was this great, crazy move, it still would have been nice to see Caleb try to figure out what the next portion of his game was going to look like now that he had a second life in the game. Instead, there was no second life in the game because he got home, he went to bed, he woke up, everybody was saying, hey, might be you, let's talk a little bit. Oh, sorry, we got to go to a challenge.
Yeah.
It's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah, and then he comes back and he has half the people to talk to. He has half as many. So I'm with you. It felt like a stunted end to Caleb, and this is from the perspective of someone who is like, the edit is ingrained in me, whether or not I want it to be. And I really don't want it to be, but it felt like I didn't think Caleb was going to go home tonight. And we haven't talked about this, but I saw some people in the chat early on were like, I don't understand why they did this flash forward that ended up not being true. I actually thought it was really cool. And either way, like, I think it was a really good misdirect because it was all footage that ended up happening, obviously, or if it was right, then it's a really cool preview that isn't necessarily a spoiler because it's talking through Jake's plan, which is confusing if you can't look at it visually.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know this is going to get a big reaction. It's them trying something different. And I don't necessarily think that they tried it. If it didn't really bring me into it, it didn't really pull me out of it. It just was a thing that happened. And we knew it was really this tribal council because it's the only time those six people have set a tribal council together. So we know that it actually was footage from that. I don't necessarily like that they showed the votes, like the actual writing of Caleb and Julie.
Yeah.
Some St. Cliffo said I wasn't a fan of it. It felt like it ruined the suspense of Caleb's vote out. I don't think it did, because I think what the problem is with that type of moment, most people, when they watch that, are going to feel however they're just intended to feel. It's kind of like you flip a coin heads or tails and you call it while it's in the air. That's all of a sudden what you want it to be. That's kind of how it felt with this. I think that you were going to automatically lean one way. You didn't think Caleb was going home. I thought it telegraphed that Caleb was going home, but I think both reads are right. I just already thought Caleb was going home. You already thought Caleb wasn't going home. Yeah. So I think no matter how that would have worked out, if Julie would have went too, there would be people over here going, oh, it spoiled that. And I would have been like, how did it spoil that? I totally thought Caleb was going to be there. So I think it was still pretty 50-50, and I don't really have a problem with it at all.
Yeah, I liked it. I am always going to be in favor of an editing trick. It's sort of like we find out retroactively that someone has an idol and then they do the flashback. I think the flash forward is a creative idea and I really liked it. And I think it was a really cool way to show Jake's perspective and Jake's thought process. Because this did go the extra mile of assuming there's a tie. So who are we going to target during this tie? Which is, it's confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so what did you think about the fact that they split them the way they did and that the tribe that didn't have the winning person of this individual challenge was going to not make the jury? What was your instant reaction to this? And has your reaction changed since it initially happened?
I felt this way at 8:19 p.m. and at 10:19 p.m. I think it's terrible. I think you even saw it in the players. They were like devastated for each other too. Like you see Kelly feeling horrible about that. You see Sifu talking about it. I think we've talked about this. I think it's ridiculous to make the merge and to not make the jury. In what, I don't understand why Sifu should not choose the winner. He got on the same beach as everyone else. He participated in the Earn the Merge challenge. He voted at the merge vote and now isn't on the jury. That makes no sense to me.
And I actually think we had Dwight on 2 weeks ago, and I actually think this is a worse situation than Dwight had, because again, going back to, they didn't give him enough time and then they split the tribes. At least Dwight went when everybody was at the same tribal council. So he at least had the entire,
it felt like a merge.
Boot. Yeah. You had the entire cast to work with to figure it out. Imagine this is flipped. Imagine D has normal sized toes and Kelly wins this challenge, because Kelly was up there over 20 minutes. I forget what the record is. Isn't the record like an hour?
Yeah, I don't know.
But whatever it was, if Kelly wins, Caleb does not make the jury after what he did, because he had less than 24 hours to figure out how to change his game. And the most annoying part is, and again, I want to harp on this. Caleb had an alliance essentially at 8:24 p.m. of Kendra, Emily, at least he thought, and I think Emily would have went with it if this was true, Kelly, Katura, Jake. That is 5 out of 12 people. He needs to find one more. Okay? So he was making moves. He ended up on a tribe with just Jake and Katura. That's it. He ended up with 2 out of the potential 5 or 6. Now, granted, he is one of those people, but what I'm saying is, Kendra, Kelly being on, and Emily all being on the other side, that's 3 people he could have worked with. He had essentially evened it up 6-6 in less than 12 hours. And then he gets split up and he's stuck on this other tribe. They are so lucky that D has abnormally large toes, because
butterfly effect.
It really did, because that made it so that Sifu went home tonight and didn't make the jury. And nobody cares because they edited Sifu like shit. But if that was Caleb, there's no way to not edit Caleb great, because he was losing every time. He was almost gone 2 or 3 different times in this game. They had no choice but to make him a fan favorite. And if he would have went in that situation, it would look like the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. The streets would just be on fire. Everybody would be going nuts, because There's no reason that he should be put in that situation. If it's Final 12 and Caleb gets, he's not able to turn it around and he goes home in a 12-person vote, fine. But to have this happen and have Sifu not get it because of a stupid rock draw, it's too random, it's nonsense, and it's really not Sifu's fault. And they're very lucky it went this way, because if that was Caleb, man, I wouldn't want to be at the next Bryson Wen presents, because Wendell is not going to be okay.
Not going to be okay.
He's not okay now, but he would be even more not okay if Caleb didn't make the jury.
Right. And it's, again, I don't really know why juries have to be so large, but even still, we're going through all these steps to still have all these people be pre-jury. Being pre-merge and being pre-jury, to me, it's just now just like two really, really sad people in the middle. I think if either completely get rid of this like 36-hour flip-flopping, or just have it be a merge and that's it. It's really, you got to go one way or another.
Yeah, I know. Because I think back to All-Stars, we have the person who was in the game the longest without either making the jury or the merge didn't make either. But Jerry Manthe went 24 days.
Yeah.
24 days. Like, just think about that.
Like, won the game.
Jury or the merge played 24 days. But that's not the point. The point is there were three tribes to start that season. They had never done that before. They had one tribe get absorbed by the other two tribes. They had never done that before. Then they did a tribe swap. I don't think they'd ever done two tribe swaps in the pre-merge up to that point before. And then they had the merge. And it was just, and then it was the jury, because Jerry had gone home. It was so easy to follow. And you knew what was coming. And right now, all of these words mean nothing. It is the Princess Bride. That does not mean what you think it means. That is what is happening over and over and over every episode. And there's going to be people who are going to defend it. I'm sure if I was podcasting with Will right now, he would defend it, because that's what Will does. He wants to be devil's advocate to me, and I appreciate it. But if I was doing that, he'd be like, well, they're doing it because, you know, they want to keep them on their toes or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But there's no thought process. There's nothing that you can do as a player to think about this to make it better. You are just screwed. And I feel like making the merge doesn't mean anything anymore. Making the jury means something, but everything that comes before it, who the hell cares?
Right. And the players are exceptionally devastated. Like, they're even more upset about it too. And I don't mean this cynically. I just mean it as a fact. Like, the players' emotions are not taken into consideration when like building the game design. But as a player, that just kind of sucks. And I didn't like, it felt like a huge conversation tonight was, I want to make the jury. I want to make the jury, when I would have rather known, like, who is going to work together? Like, why is Kendra now like exceptionally frustrated? Why did she and Kelly decide to stick with him? Like, that would have been more helpful than just being really sad. Like, I feel off, and I was not a fan of watching Sifu, but how could you watch what he said tonight and be like, man, this was a great choice. Like, I'm like, he did nothing to, he deserved to be on the jury.
I agree. And if he didn't deserve to be on the jury, like if they really didn't want 12th to get the jury, which I get why, because it's just too even, like it's too even of a split. You get a 3-3-3 vote. That's a problem. But if that's the case, just have, you have, I am officially on the side of Final 12. If they're not going to make the jury, has to be a normal 12-person vote. It has to be a normal 12-person vote. And it's Jeff and everybody's going to say, oh, well, it's more interesting this way. It's more interesting. It's not. It's not. Like, you're lying to yourself. And like, you've hit the point of, you can do that because the show's been on so long. But part of you knows that this is not better. It's not. And I'm sure on Fire right now, they're talking about how great was that. It's not. It's just not. And most of the fan base feels that way. And the fan base that doesn't feel that way is probably having a hard time just following what the hell's going on anyway.
So true.
It's so true. Yeah. I'm throwing my paper on the ground.
A lot of crying and a lot of blurred mouths tonight.
Yeah, we got a potty mouth tribe here. They might not have merged, but they are potty mouths. I will say, I would love to go back and watch from season one till now and really look for that, like the cursing and the blurred mouths. It feels like society, when Survivor was first on, wasn't okay with it. And then it got more and more okay with it as it went on, because there'd be people who get blurred mouths, but we've never had it to the extent we've had it in the last three or four seasons. And they could do it where they could cut it out so easily.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's, the way people swear in their day to day versus like 10, 20 years ago, I remember, like, I used to get in a lot of trouble for swearing.
Yeah.
And that just isn't, that's not where society stands now.
Yeah. I know. I almost feel like if I had a kid, I'd feel weird reprimanding them for saying shit. I'd be like, yeah, well.
I just said it.
Like, what do you want? Like, I say it on this podcast. I mean, we just had Kendra say, when you assume you make an ass out of you and me, I don't think they would have said ass on TV back in 2000. I don't think that they would. If that exact same thing, they would have.
That's a word that doesn't get blurred, though. But whole does. Right.
Isn't that the best? Because an ass is a jackass and a jackass is a donkey. So it's okay.
Interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And if you notice, if you listen to a song on the radio, kids, so there's this thing called radio that you listen to where they would actually bleep out stuff. You didn't have Spotify or Apple Music, but if you listen to a song on the radio, if you watch a TV show, they bleep whole but not ass when you say that. So
it's like, kids, you've probably never heard this song, but the closing the blank damn door.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when, like, in middle school, whenever they came out, I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But now
God was the first word in goddamn. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Anyway, I know. Okay. What a time to be alive. We are so old. We need to wrap this up.
We need to. But
I need to go to bed.
I just want to rattle off real quick how that challenge went, just so that anybody, I wrote down the order. I never normally do this, but I just want to go down the order real quick, because I feel like it'll help people kind of understand maybe who's going to be seen as a threat going into next week when you're doing your power rankings. Emily was the first out. She's a puzzle girl. We're just going to say that. Julie was the second out. Kendra was third out. Kendra was never going to last. There was, like, with the facial expressions and everything that she does, there was no way. She would have been screaming at the pool. Fourth out was Jake. Fifth out was Sifu. He's gone now. Bruce was the sixth one out. Austin was seventh, which really surprised me. Drew, gangly, nerdy guy, he was the eighth out. He hung up there as long as he could. Then it was Caleb, Keturah, Kelly, and then D ended up winning. So a challenge that generally favors the women, unless you're Ozzy, once again favors the women. And Ozzy's, you know, pretty much same person as Ozzy, which is Drew. So, you know, they're all the same. But
favors those feet.
It favors those feet. That's it. And so I like this challenge. I think it's a fun one. You know, pain tolerance, all that fun stuff. You know, it generally, I think Carson had actually tweeted out in a tweet that I was a little confused by, but he had said that 60% of the winners of this challenge are men, which really isn't that crazy high of a number. That's barely more than 50%. There's a 20% gap.
It's pretty
there.
Like standard.
Yeah. That's
percentage like of anything.
Pretty much by Kelly and D both winning tonight, I would almost bet that dropped that down to about 55 or 54%. So it's really not crazy, but it's lighter people, everything like that. But if you're a really good challenge competitor and you know you really need it, Caleb almost pulled it out. I mean, if he was on the right thing, Caleb made it long enough that he beat enough people. If that rock draw had gone differently, he would have won. So,
Yeah, totally. All right. So in terms of props, Keturah had the episode title. She said thorn in my thumb, which was a feeling that I didn't want to feel, but she said it and now I felt it. Bruce and Keturah beautifully both had their mouths blurred in case they haven't already.
It was the first time actually. So
fantastic.
They're just in sync.
D cried, but I think D has already cried. Would you count Kelly as a cry?
I wouldn't count Kelly's. I don't think I saw tears. I'm not buying.
There's not a tear on the face.
She's a little robot for me right now. You know, she's just got that winner robot edit. So
that winner robot. Her Birkenstocks are too clean. Something's afoot. Something's wrong there. That's it, right? Oh, I know. Sifu went home with.
He got six votes.
Dang. So Sifu and Jay Maya and Brando are officially LVPs of the prop bet game. They all got nothing, absolutely nothing. So Brando got five or less votes. It's just Jay Maya and Sifu. They didn't get anything.
Wow, that's horrifying.
It's horrible. So We also had Caleb. He had a confessional in every episode he was in, and he hit 40 confessionals tonight. He was the first one to hit 40 confessionals.
Oh, wow.
Emily's at 38. She'll hit it next week. Drew's at 30. He's probably an episode or two away. Right now, Julie has the least amount of confessionals right now with 14, but she's also had a confessional in every episode. So while she might not hit 40, she could still get one in every episode because now we're getting down to final 10. I would be shocked in 90-minute episodes if everybody wasn't getting confessionals in every episode from here on out.
I think it's great that we're still getting it.
The paper is back, yeah. and I think that was it. There was nothing for the fantasy game that happened. And yeah, that's all I had. I don't have anything else to talk about. Nobody had 10 confessionals tonight. That's it.
That's it. Well, we have a first to the podcast guest this week joining us. Phil and I are back with some guests. So this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be joined by Sammy Laiati from Survivor 43. We wanted to chat with him after his season and our things just didn't align. So we're really excited to bring him on. So tune in. We're going to be talking about the final 11 with Sammy this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tune in, I presume, tomorrow morning for Phil's after show. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for John and McKenna's Survivor Rewind as well. Great time to be a patron. There is a slight change coming to our Patreon process that Phil is going to talk through.
Yeah. So with Alexa leaving, I'm kind of revamping the entire Patreon and moving things around and doing whatever needs, changing it up. And I'm going to get rid of the $1 tier come January 1st. That doesn't mean that the $5 tier is now going to get what the $1 tier got. It's just the $5 tier will now also be the one that gets access to the Discord. There's still going to be Q&As. And then John and I are going to start doing a movie thing for that too, because we have had some interest in movie people being patrons, but we don't offer anything over there right now. And so that's going to be a weekly movie podcast, and it's going to be random as anything. But I am going to get rid of the $1 tier starting January 1st. So if you're a $1 patron, I did change up the Patreon today, so you can go and see what the $5 tier is going to be offered come January 1. Also put in there what is going to be there for the $10 and $20 patrons. So everything is going to be changing a little bit. It's a good time, I think, to make the change. January is going to feel like a totally different thing, kind of. I mean, Alexa, you're not going to be here, so I feel like I need to show people that, like, hey, stay here, guys. Like, don't leave me. So just because Alexa's going doesn't mean I'm abandoning. But so become patrons. Go look at it. If you don't want to make the change now, you got 2 months. And yeah, I think you'll be happy with what's over there. And if you're not, hopefully you just keep listening to me blab on here, because that's going to keep happening. And hopefully Sammy's ready, because I'm bringing the heat on Sunday. You know,
I'm so excited to talk to him. And yeah, Phil and I have been talking about getting rid of the $1 patron for a while. There aren't too many. And to be honest, it's a better benefit. It's only a few dollars more for you to get a lot more content, like the Q&As, whatever Phil ends up doing past January. But even in the past, like the Q&As, we talk pretty candidly. They're pretty fun, and that's worth it for an extra couple bucks. Yeah. So if you're a $5 patron, it's a great time. Excuse me. If you're a $1 patron, it's a great time to upgrade. So you also got a 2 months head.
You got a 2 months heads up, and everything, even though I kind of took off what we're doing right now, but everything is remaining the same for the rest of the year. So, you know, the $5 patrons are going to get the Q&A, the $10 is going to get the retrospective, all the games and the after shows and the Survivor Rewinds. And I think McKenna and Celestine are doing the Amazing Race right now. So all that stuff stays the same. The changes don't happen until January, but just prep for it so that you're not like, what the hell? Where did all my money go? But that's it. That's all I got. I'm excited to talk to Sammy on Sunday. And John and I are talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Priscilla. Ooh. Which is, yeah, those are our movies tonight. They are like the same movie. I don't know how they could make two such similar movies. So everybody, if you're a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, or if you just want to hear John and I talk about a movie that's about Elvis Presley's wife and is essentially a costume drama, get stoked.
I needed that to happen. So I'm so glad this is happening. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is a good one.
Yeah. John hates it. So come tune in. John hates it. I actually really liked it, and I've been the Marvel hater. So
yeah, you hate Marvel movies. What's your favorite Marvel movie so far?
What's your least favorite? Yeah, first Captain America is the winner, and Age of Ultron, the second Avengers. Whew.
Yeah, oh my God. That was not a good one.
Yeah. So, but Michael Carroll says Priscilla was great. Well,
tune in.
It's coming up next. And yeah, my after show will be live tomorrow. I'll give some updates on power rankings and all that stuff. Alexa's been on it, putting the power rankings in. I have not been on it, scoring the power rankings. So all those will be there. But we'll see everybody on Sunday night.
Bye, everyone.